Tonight I sighted the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Ray Reno and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands from the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
All righty, as you can see, we're in a transition mode here on Motormouth Radio today, home of Long Island's only auto talk show with your host, Ray Guarino, co-host and compatriot Joe D.
Yeah,
data in the cloud.
Up the desk right about now.
we're just surfer stomping our way into oblivion today. Yeah. Joe, here we go. This is, what can I say? It's just everything is going to be new. Give us a call, 516-572-7440.
They changed the board. I mean, it looks like a damn computer system.
A lot of stuff has changed.
I hate engineers. Engineers just love to change things. But we'll figure it out. Okay, we'll just have to apply Joey's rule number one.
Which
is anything going to explode if we try it? No? Then do it!
That's what I do.
There you go.
Not. I mean, we'll find out. And listen, I've used a fire extinguisher before, so we can put out the fires.
Yeah, Ray runs the fire extinguisher, I run the mop. So we've got pretty much both ends covered, depending on what it is that's going to befall us.
Absolutely.
But, so far so good. I see it's charged up from after the last time.
The photon crystals are in there, correct?
Good. Now we just got to see if, like I said, see if anything explodes. So, let's see. What do we got going on today? Are we talking to each other or what?
Tim's doing a happy dance.
Oh, that's excellent.
Sean, if you're listening, it worked.
Yay.
All right. Hey, LaGrange is up there by ZZ Top. That's good, too. I like that.
All right. So
I wasn't saying the artist.
I wasn't saying the artist.
Thanks, Kim. Yeah, Kim, the whole place is being reworked here.
You're a whiz. Thank you, my dear. Basically, we're going to be talking to each other today?
Yeah, I was trying to get a guy that we had on the Thursday night show. We had on the Plane and Traffic show. It was a fellow from BMR Suspension. A guy named Pete.
Oh, yeah. I looked at their website after you mentioned that to me. They got some cool stuff there, yeah.
I sent him an email the following day. I told him that, we did a marathon that night. The show usually goes from 9 to 10. Usually by 10:20, 10:30, the loos are ready to bang out because they work early. This time, no one had to work the next day, so we stayed on till it's getting close to 11. And I told him, hey, guys, a lot of times you guys have left and left it with me and said, stay on as long as you want, but they're going to cut you off at 10:30.
Shut the lights when you're done. Lock up.
I told them, no, I've been here till 11. They didn't kick us out. Well, we stayed. We came around to the midnight hour. Wilson Pickett was on with us that night.
Ah.
And I said, hey, look, we're still here at midnight. It's still recording because they record on Facebook Live as well.
Right.
We were there till 12:30.
Damn.
I mean, we were getting punchy.
Yeah, I can understand that. I think, trying to remember, I sometimes try to see you guys on the phone while I'm still out playing and working and
the
mostly
last
work,
hour was a political rant. We really got down and dirty. Santiago did, but so Pete was on.
So it's not just cars, folks.
No, and I said to him, listen, if you. I invited him onto the radio show and said, you're certainly welcome on on here.
Sure.
And I sent him an email the following day with the information, and I was hoping he'd get back to me, and he didn't, so it just...
Maybe he actually sleeps to a civilized hour, unlike some of us.
Maybe.
I mean,
he had Friday and Saturday. So.
Right, yeah, okay, yeah. So in which case, maybe he's just hungover.
So we'll see. But BMR Performance, they do a lot of stuff, kind of the same things along the line of Performance Suspension, along Global West and Hotchkiss, all of that stuff. They do front-end stuff, rear-end stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, let's face it, that stuff these days, modern suspension systems are modernizing older cars is definitely a trend.
Right.
And sometimes for good reason, because I know sometimes when I get out of, say, an older car, you know, a stock older car, even though it's in good shape, like the Chevelle comes immediately to mind, you forget what it's like, and then you get into a modern car, and you feel like you're driving a jet. You know, it's just amazing what the difference is. And to put some of that modern stuff in, as long as into a cool looking older body, is definitely something to do if you drive your car a lot.
The funny thing is, I was explaining to these guys, I threw out to them the problem I was having with this Camaro I'm working on at the shop.
Oh, yeah.
Hadn't been resolved yet. And they all had other ideas, great ideas. And
right.
Pete said, listen, call me in the morning. I got everything you need for that car, meaning all the new stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I said, well, we haven't gotten the okay to go there yet, but we do have the okay, Joe, to go to the phone.
Okay, push the button, see what happens.
And say hi, you're on the Motor Mouths.
Hey, good morning. It's the Bronc. How you guys doing today?
Jeez, man. I thought we had everything fixed.
Right.
Nope. I'm going to make it all broke again. How's that sound?
How you doing, Bronc?
Right, one more time out. Well, finally got a little breather out here. They just finished Hot August Nights. And, you know, I just heard you talking about suspension and modernized suspension on the old cars. And I'm seeing more and more of the cars out here. I don't know if you guys would get them. The early 70s to mid-70s, where they're putting these 22s, 24-inch wheels, jacking them up.
Yep.
Right, and it's becoming a whole new fad. A whole new fad.
Yes.
Of, I guess they're like 40-year-olds that are doing this at this point.
Right.
And I don't like it. I'm sorry. You know, the cars are not designed from the aesthetic point of view to fit these modern rims that they're putting on these lowriders and stuff. So it's just crazy. I don't know.
On my own car, on my 65 Pontiac, as I was approaching the build stage, I said, you know what? I'm not falling prey to the modern technology and the big wheels. I'm going to stick with like 15s and 14s, and that's it.
Right.
Well, now it's harder to find the wheels and the tires. I ended up going with 17s.
Right.
Right.
And I got to say, I'm really happy I did, because, boy, did that give me a whole nother world of technology.
A whole nother selection. And unfortunately, anything less than about 16 inches. Like 16s and a new, like 14s.
Yeah.
And you can't even buy a 14 anymore. I don't know if they still make them. You don't see any cars.
It's tough
coming
to come
out
by
with 14s or 15s. Everything is, you know, multi-size now. 16s in the front, 17s in the back, 17s in front, 18s in the back.
Right.
It's all different. A whole different world, as you were saying, with the change in suspension systems. You have to change the rubber on the ground, too, to make the system work together. And I see a lot of these guys are not doing that. All right, they're mismatching. That's, for lack of a better term, not doing the research or talking to knowledgeable people like you guys. They're going to put you in the right direction, so when you put the system together, it's put together right, and it's going to work right the first time, rather than say, oh, why doesn't this, why does this, why does that, that kind of thing.
I mean, having worked in a auto shop many years ago, I mean, wheels was, I remember people bringing their cars, depending on what kind of car it was and their mechanical ability, they bring their cars from like the dealership like the next day, and they would order a set of spokes or Kregers, right, or something like that. Like, wheels is like one of those things that, like, if you don't know much, that, you know, you just go in, you fling money at somebody, and the next thing you know, your car is all cool looking, so on and so forth. And unfortunately, that trend does continue today. People put these big falutin, you know, rims on there with like just, it looks like a rubber band around the outside.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all it is, right? You know, it's like when we were building cars, you know, back 60s, 70s, 80s, that kind of thing. All right, you had your choice. Am I going to put a 15.7, or I'm going to go oversized, a 15.8, and do I have clearance in the back for a 15.10?
Right.
And it really wasn't much that you could choose from. Because they didn't have the front-wheel drive cars, which is a completely different rim from the rear-wheel drive cars. So, like, one rim, they had the unilugs, remember that?
Oh,
where
yeah.
It'll fit a Ford, a Pontiac, it'll fit a Chrysler, that kind of thing, just by changing the lug nut and the spacer.
Right.
So it's very easy to do a modification on your suspension system without getting crazy. You want to jack the car up, you put heavy springs in, or you put a lift kit in, you know, the spring spacers.
Air shocks.
Shackle extenders.
Right? Or you put air shocks in,
shackles,
or whatever you're putting in to give you the ride that you want. Or better yet, it was more of the look rather than the ride back in those days.
You know, on the coil spring cars, you didn't see it, but on the Mopars, how many Mopars were you behind that had like 8-inch shackles
right.
and the Gabriel hijackers on extenders?
Right.
Right, and then crank up the torsion bar. You get under there and you just crank that torsion bar up so the nose would pop up. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, but that,
or
that's
leave it low and put 90-10s in.
Right, so
yeah, there's a lack of thought behind everything. you know, these days. They just slap the wheels on.
Too. I mean, we used to go out. There was a spring place right by the old Shea Stadium. I forget the name of it.
Flush and water spring.
They put in heavy-duty coils for $29.95.
Yeah. I remember that place. Bad cars done there.
I can't remember the name of the place for the life of me. So we drive over
to Flush and water spring, Brock. I lived in Whitestone. I was there every, like, 2 weeks with a different car.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Back there, it looks like Mad Max back there.
Who had a coil spring compressor back then? So it was easy to do. They give you the springs, they do the labor, and then I think it was, what, $10-$12 to get an alignment after that? I forget, you know?
Wow. But it depends. Crazy. Well, they charge you extra if they had to get a longer roll of string.
Yeah,
you know, to pay if you had wide track Pontiacs or something. Yeah,
right.
No, I remember the place very good. It was like in an old like airplane hangar or something. It was one of them Quonset hut like arched over things there. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
There was him
yeah.
and there was Axel over in Long Island City.
Saturday, the line was down a block around the corner, and you just wait there to get it done.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Now you can't do that.
So let me ask you this, Brock. Let me ask you this: with your cars, your older cars, who do you go to for things like alignments now?
There's a tire shop up here. It's a Les Schwab. The guy is about 62 years old that does the old school.
Robin the Cradle.
Mm. Right? Okay. And the guy is amazing. He just did my Corvette, four-wheel alignment on the Corvette. It's 80 miles an hour. I can let go of that steering wheel, and the thing will track beautifully. And I checked them. I did it the old-fashioned way. I poured water on the front tire, and I poured water on the rear tire, and it went perfectly straight to see what my overlap was.
Okay.
And it was right on target,
okay.
Rock steady. And he charged me for the four-wheel alignment $79.
That's great.
That's darn. That's darn reasonable.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I went to this one shop that my parts guy recommended, and it was a young kid there. Right, so I said, well, here's the specs, because I gave him the old specs. And he goes, I don't know how to do this. Okay. Well, at least he was honest about it.
Exactly.
Right, and told me. And then I found this guy, and I've been using them, I guess, the last 3-4 years. I just finished doing the Mustang, the 67 Mustang, because those things are a bad steer. They're all over the road. You know, they're slopping steer. And I put in urethane, tightened up the suspension on it, put in a better set of shocks. I realigned the sway bar because the thing was pulling to the right, and this thing, it handles beautifully. So to find an old timer, the old cars, you got to find somebody who grew up on this stuff. You can't go to these kids because they never worked on these cars, right? The question is, what's a set of points? What's a distributor? I mean, that kind of thing. Yeah. Well, how do you modify an ignition wire? What's an ignition wire? Different world. You know. So
Where you go. There are some kids out there that do hang around with a couple of us old guys, and I've been teaching a few of them, you know, that are in the shop and whatever, because for some ungodly reason, they show up at my shop and like, oh, what is this, Jurassic Park? You know, like one week it's a 68 Cougar, another week it's like a 67 Caddy, you know what I mean? And last week it was a 79 Z28, which I remember when that was a new car. And
a friend of mine selling his 89 Z28 convertible. You know, it's old school, that kind of thing, but it's injected, but nothing fancy about it. It's still an easy car to work on.
Right. But they don't understand, like, when what do you mean I have to do a distributor in it? What do you mean
what does it look like?
And you can take it out?
Yeah. Right. And why do you mark the rotor? What's timing?
Right.
I had to go pull the timing light out. Oh, by the way, my tool there that we tried to use on your go a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
If you smack it 3 times on the left side, it works.
I hadn't tried
that. An old snap-on induction light.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, this one's got a tack and dwelling cylinder kill built into it. Besides my trusty red dial type too. Which,
I got an old Craftsman tack and dwell and voltmeter.
Yeah. Right.
An old analog. Probably goes back to the 60s. It's one of the original ones I owned. And I got the old snap-on. I got to do the same thing. I got to smack it or hold it in a certain position for it to strobe.
Yeah. You could never sell that, though, because nobody else reads Latin, right?
That's right, right.
And nobody knows. What is it? You know, where do you put the bullets?
Exactly.
Right. So it's fun.
Okay, now that you convinced me that I'm friggin' ancient and I really should be in a rocking chair someplace.
I tell you what,
think of it this way. If you think you're ancient, what am I at this point?
Yeah.
You're going to invent the dinosaurs.
You're going to be sitting there drinking coffee in a minute because we're going to go take our first break.
Yeah, we got to go break something.
And I got a dirt bike in a garage that I'm doing a conversion on a suspension on a monoshock. I'm changing the monoshock because the guy's a little short, so I got to lower it, and putting a street legal kit in. So I got that all in pieces in a garage, and that's my play toy for today. So that'll keep me out of trouble if nothing else.
Sounds like fun.
All right. Very good.
Yeah, looking forward. Well, guys, you have a great week. It's always a pleasure.
All
yours,
right,
of course, when I call in. So enjoy, stay out of trouble, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
It's a character-building experience.
See
Take care,
later.
Bronc.
All right.
Take care.
All
Bye.
Right. All right, that was
And
Bronc.
He is a character, isn't he?
Yes, he is. With that in mind, let's take our first break. Let's, you know, I feel like there's a wait. I see that crest coming? That's a big one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Catch that.
And me without my rubber suit.
You don't need it. Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D. Come back. Put the sunglasses on because you may be Dan, or I'll be Steve McGarrett. We'll come back in a minute. See ya.
Where's that... Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 on Revelations on 90.3 WHPC. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5 on Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years, right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Boy, how often does your promo song end and cue you to come back on
Perfect.
Mic on Motormouth Radio? Ray Guarino, Joe D., we're trying to
Let's go fire up the Marauder. Come on, let's go, man.
Yeah. No, it's got to be an old Mercury. No, was it?
It was a Mercury. No, it was actually a Grand Marquis.
I think so, yes.
But I just always call them Marauders because Marauder sounds cooler to say.
Good
and
enough.
In later years, those ended up being Marauders. That's
correct.
Yeah. Nice cars. Nice cars.
Absolutely.
Can't wait. Fix one of them once, but the bus, never mind. So, anyway, I was thinking about, we were talking a little bit about that little project you were playing with during the week on the, over in the other location
the
of the Motormouth thing over there.
Yeah, that was the ongoing thing, and it raises a lot of secondary questions to me, like when you work on a customer's car and you're charged to do a job, but you find other things wrong, like what do you do? How far do you go? And what's the, you know, because I kept saying we were working on the steering of this car because it was all over the place, and we kept drilling down. Once I did the steering box, that took out the majority of the problems. Thank you, Tori, for supplying that steering box.
Oh,
which
yeah.
I still have to
seriously
come pay you for. Then we found, you know, suspension parts put in wrong. We found, I found control arms that were not torqued in the loaded condition. They were in the free
right.
hung position. And now as I fixed all this, the car got markedly better. But I kept saying, hey, how do you know the owner didn't think when he stomped on that car, the front end rose and the wheel went all over the place, maybe he thought, oh my God, my car's an animal. I love this.
Yeah, really. That's you like know, the same people who leave holes in their exhaust systems.
I'm just,
or flip the air cleaner lid on a carbureted car.
Yeah. I kept telling Mikey Jr. that, you know, I told him, I said, you drove this car. Now you got to drive my car.
Okay.
Because when I get into my car, everything just stays the way it should. It's Your car only looks
52 years old. Your car, you know, is much more modern. There's a lot of cool modern tech in that.
Yeah. Well, the upgrades to the original tech,
I should say.
The suspension is more modern than in the Camaro, but still, the Camaro's a great driving car. It's got a great motor, great powertrain.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm really digging it. It's got, whoever built the motor did it right. The whole build quality is nice.
Yeah, yeah. Just minor things. Sometimes, you know, there's a lot to remember about fixing a car, even back then.
Yeah.
As far as doing things, quote unquote, the right way to specifications. There's a reason why they have you, torquing the control arms.
Right.
You know, with the vehicle loaded as opposed to just like getting under there and doing three chin-ups with your Craftsman wrench.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that kind of stuff has it has credence because, yeah, okay, the guy put the suspension together and obviously it didn't go sideways into the wall the first time you hit the gas.
Right.
But was it right? You know what I mean? As a matter of fact, I know you and I had swapped some emails about this, and I was like,
"Yes,
I do remember a lot of them first-generation Camaros being kind of squirrely when you jumped on them."
You said that, yeah.
You know what I mean? But then again, I never drove that particular car.
Well, that's the thing. And like I said, just to reiterate, maybe, I don't know who the guy is that owns the car. I never met him. I don't know what his history is with cars. This may be the first really kind of fast car he's ever had, and maybe he thinks that's the way a car is supposed to act.
Yeah, seriously.
Now, you know, guys like us, we've been around the block a few times and under the cars a few times. We know. No, it's not supposed to do that. It's supposed to stay straight and not, you know, exhibit like characteristics of a TIE fighter with a bad aileron.
Right.
You know?
I was going to say one of them bumper cars over in the amusement park there where you...
TIE fighters go faster.
That's true, too, but... And that noise is kind of cool, too, but...
When you dip down in the canyon, you don't have a lot of room between the sometimes on
right,
your
wing so tips. You're steering better be right, you know?
You know, and you can't always, like, throw it up on its side and do one of them,
you
know?
That you have to have your R2 unit locked down the stabilizer.
Exactly.
Okay, you're just going to keep making me geek, aren't you? You just like enjoying making me geek.
Yes, I do.
You start making me quote stuff, you know?
You know what? Because it takes you out of your normal existence, and I think, and it brings you back to a normal existence that's the real you. And to me, that's what we're all about. You know, it's like what's under the skin. Like you said, what's under the skin of a 52-year-old car isn't always what looks like on the outside. People are the same way. But I got to say, after I got the suspension stuff squared away, Steve from the other shop came down yesterday. And he's an old school guy.
Right.
I like working with Steve.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to do a string level to set the tone.
Oh, he knows Brian's guy.
Yes.
Cool.
Well, again, just to get it into spec, and Mike had bought a bubble adapter for the wheel to get camber adjustments.
Oh, I thought he was just a little dirty, wanted to get clean and throw it. No.
We did agree that the shop floor at the second shop isn't really flat enough to play with the camber. So
right.
He strung it, and we drove it, and everything was fine. We're going to take the car back to the other shop where they have a frame machine.
Right.
Put it on that, which is leveled, and then he'll
yeah, don't get much. Don't get much leveler and flatter than that.
But if Steve's listening, we were talking yesterday about his 34 Plymouth that he was working on a project. I'd like that. I want to have him on the show, have him come in the studio. But,
oh, hell yeah.
But he can call, too, 516-572-7440.
Yeah, don't make us do all the talking.
And work on that Plymouth. I want to see that car back on the road because it's something that should be done.
Yeah, yeah, we need more cars like that out in the road.
And, you know, which leads me to another topic. We were, I just talked about this a little earlier with you. During the week, like all of us, I watch a lot of different car shows. And I found three glaring faults on major car shows that are on the networks. And I'm not going to name which ones they were. But on the first one, the two hosts, they brought in a 70 Chevelle SS.
Black, okay.
White stripes. And they were telling the people how to decide if this was a real Chevelle, a real Super Sport. So they look at the VIN. All right, mm-hmm. The VIN's got some of the information. They look at the data plate. Well, that's really a trim tag that tells you how the car was optioned.
Right.
The guy comes out, he goes, and he shows you in the back, it was a 70. He says, see, it's got the rubber pieces on the bumper, which was SS only, and it's got the SS badge. I'm thinking, yeah, what if the bumper was changed?
You know, get out of my head.
And he's like, he's got the SS, you know, emblem in the grill and on the fenders. Well, people change those all the time.
Yeah.
Then he goes inside, they show you the inside of the car, and it's got the round pods for the
yeah, the round gauges as opposed to the rectangular gauges.
And he says, this is it. Without this, the car cannot be a Super Sport. And I'm like, no!
Are you...
I'll show you. Mike's got a 71 SS in the shop now that has that rectangular dash because the guy didn't order the interior package
right,
for the car.
Right, because back in the day, if you were a salesman, did not check the right boxes there, you were in trouble.
Exactly.
And that's why some of these quote-unquote rare cars come up, because somebody was just a little inebriated when they checked off the boxes.
So that car could have been an SS, but it didn't happen.
Seriously.
Let's go to the phones and see if we have an SS aficionado on the phone. Hello, caller.
Hey, Ray, it's Tori. How you doing?
Hey, Tori. What's up, man?
Hey, Joe. How's it going? How's everything going?
Good, 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 good. You haven't lit the place on fire yet, so we're all right.
Hey, I got my extension, my helmet. I'm ready for you guys, so just let me know. I'll be responding from out east. Don't worry. I'll make it there in no time.
Okay. Cool. All
right. I just heard you guys talking about the Chevelles, how to tell a real SS from a fake one.
Right.
I know what you're talking about. I'm not going to say anything. But the only way to tell a real 70 Chevelle SS, it's not even by the VIN, believe it or not.
It's the option code.
Right.
No, some of it didn't even get stamped with the option code on it now, depending on what plant it was made in.
Build sheet.
The build sheet, yeah.
If you find a build sheet, if you're lucky enough to have the original motor in there with the VIN stamped on it, or the protector plate, or any of that paperwork,
right.
But without any of that, and not the original drivetrain in there, whether it was a real SS when it rolled off the assembly line or not, you have to treat it as a regular Chevelle, because the numbers tell the story.
That's exactly.
The 12 bolt could be added.
Sure, any of that stuff.
The dashes could be swapped out.
Mm-hmm.
And Tori, not even that. Like I said, the car could have had not had the trim package installed, so it didn't get the round hole dash. It has a rectangular dash. The 71, Mike, has the shop is a bench seat column shift car.
Exactly. It was all options back then.
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean,
and people don't realize that.
But
this
was on TV, and these guys are now conveying that to listeners or viewers, and I'm like, that is so wrong, boy. You guys are propagating.
And in the next segment, it's like, and you could buy all this stuff at blah 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 Chevelle parts
at the sponsor, right?
Duh, and make your own. Sure. I mean, cloning is a big thing.
Oh, absolutely.
I think, for example, I think 70 that body style Chevelle, I thought it was an option package. There wasn't a VIN code like the 67s were like 138 cars.
Right, up until 64 was a 458 car.
Right.
And it was actually a 457 if it was a six-cylinder.
Right.
Then in 65, it was a 138 car.
Right.
Or 137 if it was a six-cylinder car.
Right.
66 was like the first 138 with the big block, and where it was its own separate vehicle. It wasn't a Malibu. It was an SS-396 Chevelle.
It was its own model line, yes.
Right, and the 138 ran up until 1968.
Okay,
in 69, they started with everyone had a 136 VIN number, and the different plants were supposed to stamp the cow tag.
Yeah,
with
like
the
that
option showing
happens.
That it was
right.
A real super sport.
Mm-hmm.
And not everyone did that. So that trick gets a little bit tricky with paperwork or
documentation.
Original drivetrain with the VIN stamps. That's money right there. So from 69 up, you need to be careful.
Oh, hell yeah.
No, you don't have the VIN number to fall back on to identify the car correctly.
Exactly. There's way too many. There's way too much cloning going on. They're not just Chevelles. I mean, a lot of different cars. Like, I spot Camaros all the time. You know,
all the time.
It's like, wait a second, that option code didn't come, because that stuff's just like stuck in my head forever.
Well, I got a feeling this car I've been working on isn't a super sport. It didn't have a data plate, but it did have, I ran the VIN.
Right.
And it was a six-cylinder, it's a convertible, but it was a six-cylinder car originally.
Oops.
Now, you could order an SS option on a six-cylinder. You could
have
done that.
Yeah, in some years they could do that. Yeah, I don't know that year, but
I just have the feeling this car wasn't. But, which is okay. I mean, hey, you can build it any way you want. Just represent it that way when you sell it.
Yeah.
On the first-gen Camaros, the base motor for the Super Sport, believe it or not, was a 350.
Correct.
Yeah. That's a great motor. I mean, that's the base motor.
That's no slouch. Yeah, you got that right.
And then you got the 396, which was an option, and a lot of people, too. Oh, disc brakes, they were standard on the first-gen Camaro Super Sports. No. Exactly. On the Z28, yes.
Yes.
SS, no.
No. SS was more of a trim package,
with
the more motors available. I mean, basically, as far as brakes go, they give you the drums and an anchor to throw out the back.
I mean, I've seen L78 cars with drum brakes around. I mean, that's a little dangerous.
Yeah.
You got that right.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's cars like that, they're more cool for their rarity than their actual driving. Like, would I want to cruise one around every day? Not that it, but, so some of the cars are not optioned. you know, the way you would want to have a car every day.
Exactly.
As far
you know,
as I'm concerned.
The coolest thing is, though, when you roll into a cruise night and you got that rumpity rump of the cam and stuff like that, and you just have to stand still to get attention.
Yeah.
You don't need to go fast or go sideways, you know, doing the burnout, you know, or out of the lot.
We were just talking about that Thursday night. Lou was just talking about it, cars that are so cool you don't have to do anything because it represents itself. That's,
you know, it's funny. My 68 Camaro, I brought that to a cruise night, and there's this old timer there with a cane. He goes, "What do you got in that thing?" I said, "Ah, it's stock." He's like, "You're full of it. I'm going to find out what's in that thing." So that guy with his cane, he found me about 3 hours later.
Right.
He goes, "Okay, now you're going to tell me what's in the car." I said, "Well, Jeff Lawrence in West Hampton built the motor." He goes, "Okay." I told him what was in the motor, that it was no longer a 327. It was actually a 383.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
He goes, "Wow, you're sneaky. I like that." So,
yeah.
You know, that's what you want to do. You want to make the car. I mean, a lot of people with the car not running, you open up the hood and they say, "Oh, fuelie heads, 327 car. Nicely done."
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So you're partially right.
Good enough.
It's just like until it opens its mouth.
Exactly.
Right. It's just sitting there. It's like, yeah, okay, that's pretty. Yeah, and then the next thing you know, because I also like it because people with practice ears, you know what I mean? Rolls in, it's like, stock my you-know-what. You know what I'm saying?
I love that.
Talk about practiced ears, Tori. A couple of weeks ago, I had my Pontiac here, and
I love that car.
And Joe looks over me and says, "Hey, the car's running better. Is it running different?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it is." Because I knew it sounded a little different. I played with a couple things, and he picked it right up just by hearing the car idle.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, "Yeah, that's cool." You got to love that.
Yeah,
I love that. And the color of the hood, I can't wait to see the rest of the car painted to match the hood. That is a spectacular color.
It is.
That certainly is, I know.
It's a Pontiac color, too. That's why.
Except I probably wouldn't recognize Ray if I saw him driving down the street with that car all one color.
Nobody would, yeah. Well, that's going to be even more, make it more stealth because no one will ever expect that. So
it's a time period correct color, which hasn't lost its luster over the years. It's still a cool color today.
Right, exactly.
You got to love it. I mean, a lot of people could just paint the car, you know, red or whatever. But that gold,
those type of colors are coming back. And I'm going to tell you something. I found one up at Syracuse Nationals. I saw a 69 Camaro. And I asked the guy, "What color is that?" And it's called, his was called Butter Scorch Pearl. I think it was a Fuchs color. Might have either been a Fuchs color or a... who's the other guy making custom colors? But I said, "Oh, that is really cool, Butter Scorch."
I never saw that color before.
It's a custom color. Well, my car is just a 76 Trans Am and Grand Prix anniversary color, which is
very cool.
Fine by me.
Yeah. So if you look around and they've come up with cool colors all over the years. Like my car used to be 76 Firethorn Metallic.
Firethorn Metallic. Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
I know that car. It's a sharp color.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, you know, people say, "Oh, what color's your car?" Red.
It's easier, yeah.
Oh, you didn't say it was that color, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
No, that kind of sets you off, you know, from, you know, there's a lot of black cars, there's a lot of white cars.
And red.
And red, yeah. You know what I mean? Like
the key thing with a dark color car, though, the car needs to be straight. The bodywork needs to be on point.
Yep. Absolutely.
Because no matter how nice the paint job is, if that bodywork isn't laser straight.
You're playing the Hawaii 5-0 song.
Oh, yeah. There'll be more waves in there than Rockaway. So.
There you go. That's it.
All right, Tori. Well, we're going to wave on out for our next break. And,
it was great talking to you guys.
Thanks. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah.
That was good. Take care, Ray. So long,
take
Joe.
Care.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Enjoy the rest of it.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
All right, that was our good friend Tori, our Chevelle Camaro expert. We got to take a ride out to his place, Joe, because I actually have to give him back the core and its steering box and pay him for the one that I that he so graciously.
I didn't see no bow on that one when he handed it to you, so I figured he's looking for money. Yeah,
I got the money sitting on my dining room table. I told my wife, "Yeah, that money." I said, "She was what money?" I'm like, "That's exactly right. What money?" I said, "It's not. That's not house money. That's for Tori."
Well, yeah. That's right. Well, that's what post-it notes are for. Yeah,
exactly.
Steering box money, garage rent money, you know, that kind of pizza money.
Right.
Well, this way, there's no ambiguity. It's like, can I have some? No.
And as long as you don't see any feathered creatures flying around that want to put their claws out and grab it,
right?
That's a good thing. So with that in note, let's see what our next out song is going to be on Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D. We will be back after we sharpen our talons.
Well, now everybody's heard about the bird, not the bird, 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 the bird.
On August 16, at 2 p.m., we'll listen to some Elvis music then. Since August 16, 1977, Elvis has been king of rock and roll heaven. Tune in to the 40th anniversary tribute show, There Is More to Elvis Than You Know, with poems from the Book of Elvis, his life in rhyme, the music is his, the poetry is mine. I'm your host, Victoria Crosby. Please be my guest for a show that is different from all the rest.
WHPC is underwritten in part by the Elvis Tribute Artist Spectacular, starring Sean Clush, Cody Ray Slaughter, and the Sweet Inspirations, coming to the NYCB Theater at Westbury on Friday, August 25th at 8 p.m. For ticket information, you may visit venue.thetheater@westbury.com.
Every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
All right.
Bird's the word.
We shot them all down. The birds are now dead. We shot them. They're all in the ground over there. We're going to go and pluck the feathers and get the meat, and we're going to do something later on. We'll have wings. I don't know.
I was going to say some nice pillows, you know.
Okay. We can do that.
Yeah.
Yes, Joe.
No, I was going to say something.
Tell me.
Last week, we forgot to mention that one of our listeners, Bob from Rockville Center, came. Come and join us. He came and he visited Rob Leonard, I think
it
was.
Yeah, he won. Rob raffled an hour off on a show, which I think we're going to steal that idea next year. And
right.
God knows what we'll find out on our shop bench. I don't know. But
second prize is a half hour on our show.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
I said that wrong. Second prize is 2 hours on our show.
Yeah. No. You got to do the show for us.
How's that?
You want to see? Yeah, you do it for us. That'd be...
Well, first, that would require brainwashing and or brain bleaching.
And maybe some medication.
Oh, serious medication. But we wanted to thank him for acknowledging us as well while he was here.
He did. And that was very nice. I've already used part of that acknowledgement on some of my work that I do. And Bob, yes, thank you very much. And it was much appreciated.
It's nice to know somebody actually thinks positively of us. You know what I mean?
It is. It is, because it's kind of, we don't hear that all the time, you know?
Yeah, usually it's like, you do what?
Yeah.
You're on what? You. So it's actually nice to know that at least there's one person listening.
Exactly.
And I think maybe my wife and my son, maybe two, but you never can tell. Continue with
Saw on another show that they do a lot of high-end restorations on.
Mm-hmm.
They built a car for a guy, and they modified it. They put on a set of dual quad Elbrock Thunder Series carburetors like I have on my car.
Mm-hmm. Nice carburetors.
One is a primary, and one is a secondary.
Mm-hmm.
The primary goes in the rear, the mm-hmm. secondary goes in the front.
Right.
Like a Chrysler that had it reversed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had two. You can't tell which is which by looking at it, but what I did see was two electric chokes. I'm like, they had two primary carburetors on this car.
Right.
I said, okay, they were just mocking it up. I said, maybe by the time... I bet you by the time this edit gets to the end of the show and they give the guy the car, everything will be fixed. No, they fired that thing up and gave him a car with two primary cars with two electric chokes that were both wired.
Really?
This was a high-level show here. How does that get past you? Two chokes on... Come on. Anyway, that was really...
That's a lot of choking.
Sure is.
Yeah.
The last one I just saw this morning on one of the truck shows, and the host had a torque wrench in his hand, and he was preloading he was doing a rear end bearing, he was preloading it. And he said he was using a dial torque wrench.
Right.
It was clearly a beam style torque wrench.
yeah.
And he's saying, yeah, I was, you used this dial torque wrench, and you, and I'm like, did you look down at your hands?
Maybe there was soap on it or something.
Maybe.
But maybe he was thinking about a radio dial.
I don't know.
God, I just dated myself.
Right.
For those of you that don't know, radios used to have dials that the pointer used to travel across, as opposed to the digital readouts that we have today.
Right.
But in the meantime, so maybe he was thinking that was a dial.
Well, I don't know. It's a beam. It's a lever. Anyway, those are the three I found this week. If anybody else has any more, give us a call, 516-572-7440, and share them with us, because we like to nitpick stuff. Because that's the thing. You can't slide car stuff like that by car guys. And I don't care if it's a cooking show, a sewing show. When people watch it who do that,
I've never seen them use a dial torque wrench on a cooking show.
I've never seen them use it. No, beam style either, but, you know.
If they did, I hope they wiped it off first before they started stirring anything.
I would hope, yes.
But, yeah, but you're right. It's showbiz, right?
Yeah, I think it's poor
and
quality.
Maybe somebody wrote the script, and, you know, hopefully with any luck, once the camera stops rolling, they're like, hey, what did you make me say this for? You know, it's... sometimes the people who actually do the showbiz end of things, they might not even drive.
Yeah. Well, you know, I could see the editor, I could see it getting past maybe the film crew.
Right.
But the people working on the cars, these guys are pretty good builders.
Right.
You think, and a lot of times you see something that's wrong, and then on the next cut, it's fixed. They don't mention it. They don't bring it to attention. They just fix
it. Sometimes, yeah, because why reshoot it when you could just do it right, and hopefully somebody will say, I mean, so you do this pretty much the same thing I do. When I watch some of those shows or I watch them YouTube videos and I'm yelling at the screen, it's like, it's a pig ground!
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Something like that. But some of this stuff gets, they sometimes are catering to a different...
A different demographic
where they're like, ooh, carburetors, two of them, how pretty, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
But they should strive for more accuracy. But then again, you know, one thing I've noticed is that sometimes technical accuracy can be boring.
Mm-hmm.
It can be aggravating, you know what I mean? And
wrong is wrong. I mean,
yeah, that's true, too. I mean, two primary carburetors, it's kind of screwed up, you know?
I mean, and they were... At the final reveal, it's kind of tipping, like, not all shows have final reveals. At the final reveal, they were giving the owner this car.
Right.
Presumably, he's going to take this car and drive it. This, like I said, in the mock-up stage...
This thing's going to load up like a pig.
In the mock-up stage, things can happen. You say, okay, well, you know, yeah, all right, they screwed up and then they change it later on.
But right.
This was in the final edit. Now, maybe they did catch it before the car went out the door. I don't know. I don't know exactly what happened.
Trying to play devil's advocate, maybe the whoever supplied them with the carburetor supplied them two primaries, and the other one didn't show up yet. Because remember, all that stuff gets built in 8 hours.
Well, I know. Well,
they have an accelerated time machine thing over there that they do.
The gentleman, Bill Dugan, the guy that had built the engine for my Pontiac, I gave him, of course, the carburetors and everything. He put them on. He put the primary carburetor in the front. And the other carburetor in the back. Then again, he's built a couple Mopars with dual quads, so Chrysler does use the primary in the front.
Okay.
So, you know, because I looked at it, I said, that's wrong.
It's kind of like brake shoes.
Kind of, yeah, primary and secondary brake shoes. Yeah.
Right, yeah, because, you know, sometimes, too, it's just a matter of knowledge of a particular type of system, because common sense may get you into trouble in the car business.
It can.
And that, you know, that carries over to... things like brake shoes, carburetors, and I'm sure I could think of a few other things if I could scratch my head a little longer. But
I want to take a trip down retro lane with you here, Joe.
Retro lane.
I just got this out of a magazine this morning, and I will just tell you it was out of the AARP magazine. All right. It's called Tell the Tape. Get a load of this. It says, get out a pencil to re-spool all that wayward audio tape. Cassettes are cool again.
Really?
Now, you know, I've been listening to my vinyl. I never really stopped, and vinyl has had a resurgence.
Sure.
And they mention it here. They say, well, why is it cool? Well, in this digital age, some music fans still want a physical product, like me.
Yeah.
I have my. There's something visceral about taking the album out of the sleeve.
Dropping it down,
cleaning it with the disc cleaner.
Right.
Dropping the needle on it and hearing the lead-in track, the lyric groove. You know, it's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would agree with that. And albums, you know, the artwork that they could fit on on there and all that kind of stuff. It's amazing.
But they do say that, you know, new LPs can cost $20 or more, which I have bought a few of the new ones that are expensive.
Right.
And they say cassettes can be had for about $8 a piece.
Yeah, it's about, okay. Yeah. I mean, I haven't tried the bar. I mean, I still have at least two vehicles with cassettes in the console.
I listened to a cassette in my Fiat earlier this week. Because I have a CD cassette, and I had a Zappa cassette in here, so I was listening to Dynamo Hum, in fact.
And you know what? You know, cassettes are not the most auditory accurate medium.
Better than an 8-track.
Yeah, that's true. And the thing is that most cars, a lot of cars that would have cassettes, you know, i.e. your Fiat.
Yeah.
All right. You got the top down. You got the muffler burbling. You know what I mean? And you got a soundtrack in the background, but it's not like you got your Course Pro 4 double A's over your head there.
Nice.
You know? Yeah. See, I still got them someplace.
So
you know?
Do I.
Yeah.
I have them in my closet. In fact, I used to wear them here on the show many years ago. But they're actually sound deadening. They black out everything else, so you couldn't hear anything else.
I have so many dents in my skull. From sitting in my room listening to music at ungodly levels.
Yes.
And one family member, they go, Joseph. And finally they throw something at you.
Right.
You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But they were a very good sound deadening.
Oh, absolutely. So they are saying here that a few manufacturers still make cassette decks and even portable players like a Walkman, if you remember that piece of history.
Oh, yes.
Many smaller labels are releasing new cassettes like they're doing with albums and have top acts like, well, here's where they lost me.
Uh-oh.
Top acts like Justin Bieber, Kanye West, Halsey, and Metallica, so they threw one in there for us.
Okay.
You can get reissued cassettes by Prince and Nirvana in the retro format, too. So it was just kind of interesting that they say, you know, cassettes are coming back.
Well, some of us actually know how to, you know, use them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because let's face it, I mean, it's kind of cool that, you know, like right now I've got my phone in front of me, which has got like 3 bazillion songs on them. Mm. Unfortunately, only 1.5 bazillion of them are mine because I still don't understand how to use iTunes yet. This is like a room full of vinyl or, you know, cassettes or whatever.
I've known people who've lost their collection because of either a data issue or a major fault.
Right.
And I said, oh, well, that's all right. You got it backed up. What? with the computer, if you don't, you got
it
backed up.
What's what happened to it? I backed up over my phone and it's gone now, you know? So,
right.
That's kind of hard to do when you have, like, larger, unless you're really, really an A, really.
Well, iTunes backs up to their server. That's
the cloud. Good.
But, like, you know, my phone, I tell my kids all the time, my wife said, this thing is, I don't call it a phone, it is a handheld computer. This thing's a...
It is.
It's almost a transponder. It does kind of take you back through time if you look at some old videos, but... So it doesn't do what we really want it to do, but it is a computer, and as such, the beginning of every month, I plug it into the computer at home and my computer at work, and I back it up
to the hard drive, yep.
Mm-hmm. It backs up all my contacts, my text messages. It backs up my notepad that I keep all my notes on and all that cool stuff, the address book.
For those of us older individuals who are developing CRS more and more as we get older, I mean, this thing just remembers a lot of stuff. Phone numbers.
Yeah.
Okay, come on. Who knows phone numbers anymore?
I know phone numbers from 40, 50 years ago.
Right. I mean, everything
is speed up. Remember the number at the house you grew up in?
Yeah.
I do, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically, that kind of stuff. Because now you just find the picture of whoever you want. You hit it with your thumb, and the next thing you know, you're talking to them.
Exactly.
But there's a whole generation of people that don't have phone numbers drilled into their heads.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So if this thing goes away, you're in big trouble. I mean, and let's face it, these now, as far as automotive goes, I mean, let's face it, if you don't have you don't have a particular medium, i.e. cassette, CD, play, or whatever. You plug this into the auxiliary port, and now you got all these songs for that road trip.
That's right.
I mean, we did that quite a bit on the way out to Vegas because I was in an unfamiliar car, but it knew all my music, and I didn't have to lug everything with me. You know?
Back in the day, if you were going to go out with a couple friends and you're going to go take a road trip, even if it was somewhere, you know, fairly local, guys would bring
the music. Yeah,
they'd bring. Hey, I brought the new, new
Led Zeppelin album. Yeah, whatever.
The new Creedence. Hey, cool. Let's put it in. Yeah, just gotta remember to take it when you
need. And phones now could be scan tools too.
That's true.
You know, you could get a little wireless dongle. I love that word.
Yeah.
Plug it into your OBD port, and you could actually pull codes and whatnot without having to walk around and keep your scan tool in your glove compartment, like I like some people I know.
Right.
They're pretty good. So, unfortunately, these things have become part of the automotive landscape as well, yeah. both as an entertainment and as a tool.
Absolutely.
I was going to get one for this phone here, but you know what? I'd lose the dongle.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And that's, you know, once your dongle's gone,
you're in big trouble, right?
Things just are never the same again.
Right.
Because trying to get them reattached is, you know, lots of bills you got to send away and all that kind of stuff. And under the circumstances there, you know, it's just better to keep it in a safe place. And as you say, Ray, that's our public service announcement for the day. Back up your phone.
Yeah, back up your data.
To something.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Other than that.
And the pictures, too. You get to back up all your photos.
Yeah. Because, you know, CRS, you're not going to remember half the stuff you took pictures of.
That's right.
And you don't want this, I don't know about you, but I don't want some of this incriminating stuff getting into the wrong hands. So we want to keep it secure.
So, yeah, I had another thought as you were talking. I said, oh, that's a good one. Let me come back to that. Now, of course.
It went right out. I know. It goes out of my head, too.
I think it made it to the parking lot. It's all the way out there. Maybe we'll catch it after the show.
Yeah, it'll be standing there waiting for us. You dummies, you forgot to mention the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But that's how we roll around here. Stream of consciousness, although the stream has some rocks in it. And he's going for the most dangerous notebook, which is the original technology.
I did get a date nailed down for the Duplicolor women. They were going to come in this week.
So you nailed down a date with a couple of Duplicolor women?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're kind of like aliens from...
Just the date, right? Now you didn't nail the women, right?
No, I didn't nail women. No, this is...
Because that gets bloody.
From Andromeda 5, they're out there. But it's actually the date of the Malba show. It's September 10th.
Ah.
We have Paulette Grimmie and Amy Leonard. And Amy does actually some of the videos that are on there.
Check that out.
I don't know if I sent it to you a while ago. I'll resend it to you. Paulette had sent me, I think, four or five videos that Amy was part of,
mm-hmm.
and where they demonstrate the Duplicolor products.
Duplicolors, you know, over the years, I you know, having been in this business longer than I care to admit, I remember that tree of cans and that tree of little glass bottles.
Oh, sure.
You know, and you'd rotate around, you'd have the book, and you'd have to know your code, you'd have to know the official name of your color, like Firethorn Metallica, Wimbledon White, or whatever the heck it was.
Yeah.
You know, which, those have pretty much gone away.
Right.
Partially because you really can't duplicate that stuff on a real quick and dirty basis.
The thing they're doing now, which is what we're going to talk about with them, is they have a whole line of products, these paints that you can apply, and then you can peel them off again.
Oh, that's
cool. You can change the color of your car.
They've done a tremendous job of bringing some of this stuff into the 21st century. Yeah. Like some of their products, as far as touching up and detailing, are excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be good to hear from them. I think. What?
I think I remember what it was.
Oh, cool.
Talking about manufacturers and products. I'll get this one out quick. Yesterday in the shop, I had my Impala up on the lift. I said, let me do an oil change. And I brought my pressure bleeder. So let me pressure bleed the brakes.
Mm-hmm.
What I had done was, and of course, with this pressure bleeder, you take a quart of brake fluid. There's an adapter that goes over the open master cylinder.
Right.
You put an adapter on the brake fluid bottle. You invert it, open the valve, and now the brake fluid continually fills the master as you expel it.
Right.
So I had a half a bottle of Castrol fluid, and then I picked up a bottle of Motormite, which is our good friend Rob Stuck's division from the gunk division.
Yes.
And at some point, I had to switch the bottles because I ran out of the Castrol.
Mm-hmm.
Found out that the neck on the Motormite bottle was smaller and didn't fit the adapter
for the
bleeder. So what I had to do was, all right, what am I going to do? You think outside the box? It's just a little puzzle. Let's solve it. I poured the Motormite fluid into the Castrol.
There you go. See?
I did send Rob an email to let him know. I said, because I don't know if he knows this or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's a big deal for them or not, but I figured let him know that this is something.
Well, who made the tool now? Mighty Vac?
Yes, thank you, Mighty
Vac. All right, good. Well, I mean, as far as that goes, I'd be interested to know. Actually, it might be a good thing to let the folks down at Motormite know that happens because...
Mighty Vac.
Well, Mighty Vac's actually, one thing, and the various chemical manufacturers as well.
When I look back, I saw that in the box, there is another bottle, a bigger bottle, that right. they give you to put brake fluid in.
You're supposed to fill it up. Oh, all right.
So you, if you had like a 5-gallon thing of brake fluid, you could fill it from like your
bolt
supply.
So he was cutting the corners. Well, okay, we caught you. We caught you.
Or you can use the quart bottle, because they give you the adapter for that as well. So right. they did provide you with a way to do it. With any, you know, with just if you had like brake fluid in your hands, you could have put it in their bottle and, you know.
Right. Well,
just a little thing that I found. It was just, you know, interesting.
Well, you know, come to think of it, though, that is something you want to make the manufacturer aware of. Mm-hmm. I know in my day job, quote unquote, I make notes of certain things over here.
See, I got to tell you, new vault, see how everything, the panels are red? That bothers me when I see big red things.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, I was telling Rob, Kim, when I see big red areas, I get, like, freaked out because
okay. Yeah, red right. means, yeah, that,
no!
Red is a bad color
like
for indicators.
Will Robinson.
Yes.
Seven colors, which okay. is, like, yeah, not acceptable.
Oh, so somebody picked that red. Scheme? Is that what you're telling me? Okay, no, because let's face it.
I go for the blues and purples, and
we were very limited with our colors.
That scares me.
The other program had a lot more colors, but less tabs.
Right. Hey, we'll live with it. It'll be okay.
We'll just have to. Know. Red is okay.
Right.
In this case, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. As long if it flashes, though, yeah, I don't know. Does that mean
that's
anything?
That's a whole other game, right?
Well, let's face it. But getting back to the other thing, real quick.
Yeah.
You know, if you find something like that, a politely and succinctly worded email to the company. I mean, I make a note of this, and I pass this along to the different departments for whatever, because otherwise, you know, we don't know. And that right. could... Now, granted, what's going to happen is they probably purchased a gazillion bottles. So
okay.
for the next year, you may not see that change, because, you know, it's like that thing about turning a large ship. You know what I mean? Like,
right, yes.
So... It may not come up immediately, but you'd be surprised on how many manufacturers do listen to the people that use their products.
Oh, I've had that happen, because I am the guy, and I tell my wife all the time, she'll find something wrong. I'm like, this is the time to write an email to that company. Just, you know, just let them know.
Right.
I mean, even if, you know, you're not complaining, you don't want to get anything out of it, just for the information, if they know, and it's like when TV stations and radio stations used to get letters, they would know each, if they got a letter,
right.
it equated to like 10,000.
Right, people. Right. There's some kind of ratio to that. Yeah. And a lot of times, too, depending on how hard the person who receives those emails are, a lot of times if you get a response, just like a simple, like, hey, thank you for pointing that out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know that somebody listened to it.
The other thing I like to do, and I'm a big proponent of this, as well as letting them know something that's wrong or that was off, I like to let them know when something really good, when I have a good experience.
Yeah, you know, that is true, although they have to keep the defibrillator on the wall close to my desk, because when stuff like that happens, it's like, holy crap, somebody really thought,
right.
you like me, you really like me.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen much, so yes, it would do some of those people good, you know. Let's face it, sometimes in the automotive business, it's a thankless job. You get yelled at a lot. Like, yesterday we went through two starters on like an 85 Chevy Caprice till we got a good one.
Really?
You know
that's
what I mean?
It's a 5MT. That's the small, the little baby one.
It's not the little. Yeah, it was the baby one.
Yeah,
you're right,
with
yeah.
the permanent magnets inside. There's no screws on the side.
Yeah, so in other words, when the kid went to grab the hammer, the double jab, but no!
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, it ended up...
they were rebuilt, I guess, right?
Yeah. And a large manufacturing company, too.
Okay.
And the thing is that's when they called me. I'm like, dude, it's a starter. It's got two wires on it.
Yeah.
Really? But just to make sure, like, you just had to go for a ride up in the air send the kid up in the air. Okay, turn the key. All right. And you check your powers with a test light, that right. kind of stuff. All right, it's good. You know, but it's simple stuff. But they're like, well, you must have missed something. I'm like, come on. It's two freaking wires.
It didn't activate at all? Didn't do anything? Or
nothing.
Well, that's a solenoid issue.
Well, yeah, but at that point, you know, it's like the car stuck on the lift.
Yeah.
All right, and, you know, could I have finagled with it? Yeah, but meanwhile, I had my hand in three other fires there, so,
right.
You know, and of course, at this point, that particular company's name is mud in the shop, because
sure.
we cost them, like an hour
yeah.
to or an hour and a half to deliver.
Go from the battery to the solenoid with a screwdriver.
Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah, yeah. But you know, basically, at this, I guess what I'm trying to say is that yeah. it's so easy to tick off your customer base.
Yes,
you know what I mean. And it's nice to hear about a job well done every once in a while. Although usually in the car business, it's like. Yeah, such and such product. Yeah, they don't suck.
Right. Yeah.
Which I've learned to take as a compliment.
If you don't hear your name in the list, it's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know? Your name's not posted on the bulletin board on for detention that day. At least that's the way I used to look at it in school. You know.
Exactly.
So we got the duplicolored girls coming.
Yeah,
in
a couple.
There.
That's a few weeks away. That's in September. And yeah, there's a few. We may get Pete in here next week. There's always people in the cloud and. Sometimes they drop in, sometimes they don't. But it's a busy time.
So you're telling me to wear my helmet?
Always wear your helmet, yeah.
Oh, yes.
And I think we're going to go take a little local road trip of our own now, Joe. We're going to go maybe look and do some tool shopping.
Ah, tool shopping, yes. I see a booster pack in my future.
Yes, me too. I need some.
Because they also operate scan tools, too, when things are dead, you know, so.
All right, so that's it. This week is done for Joe D. Ray Guarino here, Motormouth Radio. We'll see you next week. Stay tuned for Kim, Tracy, and Thunder Road.
Thunder Road!
And we'll catch you next week.
See ya.
See ya, bye.